Christmas, everybody, and happy Boxing Day! Despite that, this is a pre-recorded show, but we're going to say it anyways, guys. Welcome to a very special edition of After the Count. Jose Tabuada, Sam Pierce, and our special guest is back, Daniel Mason. How's it going, guys?
Pretty good.
Yeah, very enjoying this Boxing Day. So many deals.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff on sale today. Not sure if you guys have been listening to the news, but Toronto is in the shits right now. And yes. We got an ice storm. Everything is frozen.
You know, I didn't expect that ice storm to be as bad as I thought it did.
No.
I mean, I've seen pictures. Trees are falling down everywhere.
Dude,
wires are down.
Every street has at least one tree down, if not a few. My car was frozen shut this morning. I couldn't even open the door.
How'd you get it open?
Well, we used a scraper for like an hour to get my car out, you know?
I mean, and not only that, but a lot of places lost power, and that includes our school and radio room.
Yeah.
So guess where we're doing this, guys? In Sam's car!
We are committed to your viewing and listening pleasure, okay?
We're in a car!
A lot of people...
Okay, many wrestlers live this lifestyle. They live out of their car. We wanted to experience it firsthand by recording the show.
Yes, the
in a proper environment.
We're still in a car. All right, so guys, like we said last week on After the Count, this is a year review show. So obviously 2013 is almost in the books. As of the date it's been released, 5 days until 2014. So what we decided is, why don't we go down the list? Why don't we go from January, from the start of the Royal Rumble, to TLC, which was a couple weeks ago. Because a lot has happened, whether it was good or bad. Still a lot of action.
It was a big year in WWE, and I'm going to start it off with January, month number one of 2013.
Because that is the first month of every year,
January comes first. Nonetheless, January was a very big month for WWE because we were anticipating The Rock returning to fight for the WWE Championship. Didn't even have to earn it. Just walks in, says he's going to get a championship.
It's mine!
Match.
And everybody's like, okay.
Right. And so, back in the summer of 2012, The Rock attacked, CM Punk attacked The Rock, turning heel in the process. And so, as soon as that happened, we all knew that Punk was going to hold on to the belt until January, where he could fight The Rock for the WWE Championship.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Because as soon as they teased that right away...
He could have lost it at SummerSlam, for all we know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I thought... But they wanted that big year-long title reign. They wanted him to hit a milestone, you know, in the WWE Championship, which he did.
Yeah, that's true, because it hasn't happened for a while before that moment, and it hasn't happened since, really, if you ask me. Well, Orton's on that pace now, but he won't last as long as Punk, for sure.
Oh, no question, no. But I think I was mad when The Rock did return and, you know, didn't even have to earn the title shot, and then, you know, he comes back, defeats Punk, and Punk looked very bad for those few months because of The Rock.
Not only that, but The Rock was working part-time as well, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So like it's kind of tough to have a part-time WWE champ.
Yeah, we've said before, the WWE champion should be there week in and week out. Doesn't have to wrestle every week, but he should at least be there. But when your champion's not even on the show because he's filming Hercules, you know, then, well, shit. Yeah.
So yeah, that was a big disappointment. And of course, the obvious big match, apart from that, the Royal Rumble, which is 5 weeks away?
It's 5 weeks away now, yes.
Party at Sam's house. What do you mean, unfortunately?
Because it's too long, man.
Oh, I thought you meant, like, unfortunately it's going to happen. I'm like, I'm going to smack you.
No, of course not. Everyone loves the Rumble. I don't know anybody who doesn't like the Royal Rumble.
Well, I didn't love the ending to last year's. The winner.
No,
yeah.
I was a huge fan of that.
Well, because that's the thing. We were told that Rock Cena would be once in a lifetime. They released a DVD anthology called Once in a Lifetime.
The year-long storyline, the impactful like promo before the match, how great this is going to be, the biggest WrestleMania match of all time. Nope, let's just throw all that out the window. Let's show the little fans. Let's forget about the little guy in green at WrestleMania 28, that small little John Cena fan. Throw him out the window as well, and then say, let's put him again.
They don't care about you. And they just, you know, slapped us in the face and said, once in a lifetime is now going to become twice in 2 years. 2 years in a row.
It was
No,
so
you know what
sad.
They did is they wanted to keep it as still being once in a lifetime. So they said, oh, but it's different this time because the belt's on the line. So it's once in a lifetime again.
Yeah.
It's for the belt.
Yeah. We'll never see that again, except I'm sure
we
probably will.
We probably will.
I mean, this was a sad thing. I mean, that first match was literally unpredictable at 28. I mean, that was the first time I got back into wrestling after a long time. Crazy main event, crazy ending. And then this one is like, well, it's going to be pretty obvious because you're not expect The Rock to come back at Extreme Rules and ask for a rematch.
No.
Or you're not expecting to come in week after week and try to get back in and somehow. It was really obvious that Cena was going to win. It's a huge disappointment to not only the match, but to WrestleMania itself. Horrible end. Well, yeah.
The following month, we had... After January comes February. See, After the Count, also a very educational show. Yes. If you have any toddlers that are learning the months...
Tell them to listen to the hour-long podcast.
ABCs and 1, 2, 3. Yes. That's what we teach on this show.
We had Elimination Chamber, which saw a direct rematch from the Royal Rumble. Punk getting his rematch against The Rock for the WWE title in the main event. Which, you know, when it didn't have The Rock's return centered around it, I found myself enjoying it a little bit more just because I thought, you know, maybe they can do something different with this match. Maybe Punk will win, possibly setting up a triple threat match at WrestleMania
that
between
been
Cena, Rock, Punk. Of course, we didn't see that. The Rock retained at Elimination Chamber. Very good show. We also saw Jack Swagger return to win the SmackDown Elimination Chamber match. You know, he became number one contender for Del Rio that night. But, of course, he had to go and smoke some green. So then his title was revoked, and he never became champion.
Yeah.
Can we say that February was a bit unforgettable? Just a little bit.
It was unforgettable? Or was forgettable?
Forgettable. Just due to circumstances.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like it's the pay-per-view before WrestleMania, so I never expect anything mind-blowing.
No.
A lot of build, though. You do get a lot of build.
And not only that, but I mean, back then, the Elimination Chamber was special. It was huge. When Eric Bischoff introduced it back in 2002, you're like, holy crap. Can the WWE get any more crazier? Right? And now, once in a year, it's like,
I mean, in the end, it's still 30 tons of solid steel designed to punish the human body.
Yep.
You know, you're in Devil's Playground.
Yeah, for sure.
Or is that Hell in a Cell?
I think now that they do it once a year only, I think it's a good position to have it between the Rumble and WrestleMania because it's just, you know you're just going to have filler to lead up to WrestleMania. And
true.
I think it's good to have a match like that just to make it more interesting, to keep the buy rate up. Here's because of that, the time it's in.
If you're building towards Mania, like you said, you are going to have filler because the climax is going to come at Mania, right?
Yeah.
So
that's the thing. Before the Elimination Chamber was No Way Out, which tend to sell pretty well.
Yeah. But in its final years, we saw a lot of tag team bouts at No Way Out, like No Way Out 2007, which was the final No Way Out in February. Or sorry, no, last No Way Out February was 2009, but it was one of the latest ones. And we saw a tag team bout where the main events for WrestleMania were already decided, and you had the two guys facing off at WrestleMania team up to take on. It was Batista and Undertaker versus Cena and Michaels.
Yeah, that was awesome.
So it was, you know, great change of pace, but it's kind of like, okay, so I'm buying another full-price pay-per-view just to promote another pay-per-view, right? So having, you know, and that's the thing. They often have to change the titles a lot. You know, before WrestleMania, if they want to set up a match, having throw six guys in there, no one has to look that bad. It's a really easy way to change the title in the chamber as well.
Well, it's a great way to include as much talent as they can also.
And, of course, a couple of weeks after that, Cena did face Punk at Raw to determine the number one contender, I guess because Punk couldn't take it, and Cena ends up winning that match, which officially set up Rock Cena 2 at WrestleMania. And how do I notice? Because it's on the 50-year anniversary DVD. Heads up.
Very good match. And that match didn't see any... challenge in terms of quality until probably last week's Raw main event where we saw Randy Orton versus Daniel Bryan, which those two are probably up there for free televised match of the year, no question.
March, the third month of the year.
March was all WWE WrestleMania build-up and no pay-per-view anymore in March, unfortunately, because now we see WrestleMania take place in early April. So March goes... by without any pay-per-view whatsoever.
When was the last time? I mean, definitely the last time that, like, March had a pay-per-view was...
it was like 2 years ago, isn't it?
It feels like a while back. But I remember WrestleMania
last year was April 1st, and then the year before it was like March 30th.
Oh, was it? Okay,
yeah.
Last year, I know it didn't have one because it was April 1st.
No, right.
It was pretty recent, I think.
Yeah, nonetheless, though, it's all WrestleMania build, and, like, some of the things I've been complaining about is when you have so many weeks to build... use them properly. And last year, I don't know if you remember, but we, in our old, you know, Sam and Mason show videos, we were talking about how WrestleMania's in 4 weeks, 3 weeks, 2 weeks, and, like, they're not doing anything. Yeah, like, they're barely building it, you know? Yeah. So, hopefully they utilize that time better in 2014.
Especially knowing that it's the 30th anniversary of WrestleMania, you gotta have, like, a really good, intense build-up. Because, yeah, obviously, it's still an anniversary of WrestleMania, a really big one. So many things could happen. We keep predicting week by week what could happen. Rumors keep swirling around. This March, hopefully, coming up, is what confirms all rumors, or just see what they do with it.
Then we had the granddaddy of them all, April, the biggest month in wrestling. Of course, because of WrestleMania, 2013 saw WrestleMania 29, which was considered an average Mania at best by many fans. Really? I enjoyed it.
Some people said
honest.
It was one of the worst ones.
I mean, I enjoyed it, but...
some people compared it to WrestleMania 11.
What was the main event of 11?
King Kong Bundy versus Lawrence Taylor.
Oh, well, that's right. I mean, that was one of my favorite Manias of all time, so...
You gotta be kidding me. 11 was your favorite Mania? No, don't say that. That's not even funny. Oh,
I mean, on paper, you had a lot of good matches.
Yeah. It was considered close to breaking WrestleMania 3's record, knowing the size of MetLife Stadium, and they weren't even close to it.
No.
80,000, so... 10,000 short.
I mean, Cena Rock 2, I was just mad about that match because they said it was going to be once in a lifetime, and it wasn't as good as their first bout, yeah. I thought. You know, Swagger Del Rio didn't really feel like a WrestleMania caliber world heavyweight title match.
That's when we first saw the likings of Zeb Coulter, too, no?
He came in when Swagger returned. Yeah, so it was around that time frame.
Funny promo WrestleMania, calling everybody immigrants to go back, and you threw in, like, Spanish people, Italian-speaking, Greek-speaking. Well,
they attract a lot of
international, so
from,
I guess it's nice as Zeb Coulter to take a shot at everybody.
We had Triple H, Brock Lesnar, which I felt like I didn't even like that much the first time at SummerSlam 2012, so, like, the rematch happening on a bigger show, I was, like, not even that excited about it. Yeah.
The
it was
Punk,
okay.
Clearly the match of the night, Punk Taker, even that had intense build-up with the whole urn spilling or like disrespectful, especially around the time that we did lose Paul Bearer. We forgot to bring it up in March. We lost him.
Yeah.
Awesome guy. And of course, WWE decided, take your hats off. That's right. And WWE decided, you know, let's play around with this death, which I think to this day was a horrible idea because, you know, it messes with personal stuff. And some people said, no, it was a great idea. Other people, like myself, was like, oh my god, they're actually going this far with it? Which I guess kind of...
I mean, it made it really personal. It made it into a believable storyline. But I think when Punk finally poured the ashes of Paul Bearer, a lot of people thought it went too far. I mean, it is wrestling. Maybe not to expect that in the PG era, of all things. I think that's what people are really
shocked
about.
I mean, if it was
about.
In the Attitude Era, no maybe. Question. But even in the Attitude Era, you wouldn't get something like that, right?
If it was in the Attitude Era, they would roll his body out and Punk would give it the GTS.
I mean, pouring the ashes, I mean, I thought, like, for this era it was too much, but I liked it. It was cool to see, like, some controversy, you know? It's obviously disrespectful.
It stirred up a lot. I mean, I think that's when wrestling can really be good, right? If it stirs up controversy, if it stirs up at least a huge talk.
They play it way too safe now. Like, and I like to see some more, like, edgy stuff that you don't get to see.
All
like,
year, I mean, that moment probably was the craziest thing that we've seen in the past, maybe. I could be wrong here. Could be estimating too much. 5 to 6 years, the biggest thing that we've seen, especially resulting with an actual death.
Controversial.
It's definitely up there, like top 5 or top 3 even in the past, like, how many years? When was the last controversial thing before that? You really can't think of one.
When did Chris Benoit die? Was that 07?
That was 07.
That was 07.
6 years.
But they didn't really touch that after being like...
Well, the night after they had the tribute show.
Which I remember seeing. I was shocked myself.
And then they did the Vince dying in the limo angle. And then just said, oh, no.
And then they said, oh, never mind. He's alive.
I remember that. I remember watching it with the friend, like, ready to watch some Raw.
That was like right around when Benoit...
Yeah,
it was like
literally the week of. I remember that because... Like, my friend and I wasn't watching wrestling because I got distracted. My friend's like, hey, McMahon died. I'm like, what? And I thought that was real at the time. He's going to host a funeral. Okay, cool. And then they showed the Benoit picture and his dates. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. And then Vince McMahon appeared and we realized that's when everything had to stop.
And the next night on ECW, after they had realized how much they screwed up Vince.
Forget it.
Vince comes up and says, you know, like, everybody makes mistakes. It was unprofessional on our part and... you know, we're going to continue to do what we do best.
I don't think it was unprofessional
viewers.
On that part. I think that's where he's wrong. I mean, they did what they did, right? I mean, it was this nice tribute show. They didn't know at the time. And
you would do that for anybody. And I think it's so rare that that circumstance occurs, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not common. Yeah. Most wrestlers just go because, you know, back in the day, a lot of drugs.
Yeah.
You know, they obviously lived very unhealthy
lives. So to use this Punk story was interesting.
I liked it.
It definitely set up for a great match for sure. Like I said before, heck of a match, and somehow Roxina wins a slammy.
No, it had the best build up and everything for sure. Punk got Taker was great.
That's the build up I crave. Yeah. You know,
that's awesome.
No question. I feel like they could have built it up for even longer. You know, but the fact that they only started building it up because Punk won the match at Old School Raw in Buffalo, which I actually attended, to face Undertaker. That was probably like 4 weeks before WrestleMania. So they had a traditional 4-week build for it, even though they had 6 weeks between the Chamber and Mania
to begin with. They nailed it pretty well. So Extreme Rules,
which was headlined. Actually, a lot of silly things happened at Extreme Rules. The main event was Triple H versus Brock Lesnar in a steel cage match. Third time was not the charm. You know, nothing wrong with the match. I was entertained by it, but like it didn't have anything special to it. You know what I mean? And Lesnar did win, which was great. That was the one thing I was happy about. You know, like he should have won at Mania. You know, but obviously I get Mania. You're gonna have more face wins, especially for a guy like Triple H. Triple H has to put himself over.
Because of the connections in the family.
We had Cena versus Ryback in the last man standing match that ended in a no contest, which should never ever happen. That is the whole point.
And it's funny that it happened twice in the year.
Yeah, honestly, exactly. That the finish of that match, I think, was like the one thing that upset me the most of the entire year.
Mm-hmm.
If we're doing a year in review show, I gotta say that. Okay,
here we go.
It's on.
This is a last man standing match. Last fucking man standing. You don't end the match when Ryback throws Cena through the stage piece, those, like, lighting things.
Yeah,
and Cena's down, and then they bring the cameras back, Cena's still laying on the ground, and Ryback is standing. So who wins?
If
the
anything,
last man standing.
Ryback was standing, and Cena was not.
That made me so angry. You can't have a no contest in a last man standing match unless both men are dead.
Yes.
That's the only way.
To make it worse, they were nominated for that Slammy a couple weeks ago, and the least extreme moment of the year wins it.
Which was Punk beating up Heyman with a kendo stick, which is not even that
anybody
extreme.
Anybody can beat up anybody with a kendo stick. You can beat you up with a kendo stick. It's not extreme. Just might be a little fun to beat up Sam, but
I would lay down and take a beating from Punk with a kendo stick. I'd just be so awesome. That'd be sweet.
That sounds really awkward.
Tears of joy.
Yeah, it'd be
so
happy,
happy
tears.
Thank God.
That really upset
Thank
me.
God.
I just wanted to say that.
No, I agree,
not,
man.
Yeah. It's weird that like especially with that circumstance. And again, the Slammy kind of just makes it just make people angry even more. So Extreme Rules was a waste of time. Now hopefully,
It was okay. It's a typical post Mania show.
Backlash was a better show in my
opinion. I mean I miss the old pay-per-view
for sure, right? That's what I grew up with.
June we actually had a really really good pay-per-view. It was a new pay-per-view called Payback, and everyone's like, oh wow, this is such a generic name, like why did you name this, you know, like what's and then
and
what's,
plus
what did it replace?
It replaced No Way Out. Okay, you want to hear the chronology?
Here we go.
June pay-per-view events.
Because I was just thinking about how awesome the names were and how bad they are now.
Traditionally,
June had Bad Blood. From when I was growing up, it was Bad Blood.
Raw presents Bad Blood.
Yep.
Then in June, it moved on to be Vengeance when Great American Bash returned in July.
Right.
Okay. And then in 2009...
Right.
No, sorry. 2006. We had Extreme. We had One Night Stand. Was in June, wasn't it?
2005, 2006 was One Night Stand. Yeah, I remember that very well.
Okay.
Fast forward.
Yes.
Oh, I forgot to bring that Unforgiven DVD. I'm sorry. You'll get it in 2014. I'm sorry.
Fast forward to 2010, where the gimmick pay-per-views are just coming in. WWE presents Fatal 4-Way.
There was a pay-per-view
called Fatal 4-Way.
Terrible. I love the stage, the big four. That's the only thing.
Where was I on this?
You were not watching.
You're lucky you don't remember.
I've been telling people, I left WWE in... it's like I broke up with them. I left in 2009, then got back together with them in 2013. Like, it was a good, long, like... We had complications.
I feel your pain.
The only good thing about Fatal 4 was the stage. It had this huge lit up red 4.
It was really?
Awesome. It was awesome, but other than that, it's just like a.
It's just
didn't
like
make sense.
You can't have a pay per view with matches that restrict the number of competitors every single year. You know, it's a special thing for the Elimination Chamber, but like.
Because they just threw in.
You're
two
just
guys
throwing
that
at random guys for no reason. You know
that
bad. Mean?
So after Fatal 4 Away?
In 2011, it became Capital Punishment.
That I remember. Well, look, the stages in WWE.
John Cena versus R-Truth for the WWE Championship.
But
unbelievable.
What?
Solid.
Wow, where's Janice when you need her?
R-Truth
huh?
was heel.
Unbelievable.
Was heel.
R-Truth in a WWE Championship match. What?
He got a title shot.
Maybe it was best that I didn't watch for a good while, huh?
Yeah, it was pretty bad for like maybe 2010 or 2009. 2010 was really bad.
What's
up?
2009 was okay.
2010 was like really boring.
The worst I think was 2011.
Oh, no,
but you had Punk Cena at Money in the Bank in 2011.
Oh yeah, no, it wasn't 2011. It was either 2009 or 2010.
Yeah.
What Punk and that Punk when Punk returned with his new with the whole like fire? No, that was 2011.
That was
2011.
Yeah. 2011 was a good year.
Yeah.
Because I remember that was pretty big as well.
Anyway.
So now we have...
Wait. 2010, Fatal 4-Way. 2011, Capital Punishment. 2012, No Way Out comes back and is in June. 2013, it becomes Payback. So they really got to decide. I assume they're sticking with Payback here.
Well, they had to be if it was such a great show.
It was a great show. You know what? Like, it was just, like, solid wrestling. You know, you had a lot of... I mean, the main event, even the main event, which a lot of people were like, oh, wow, this is going to be such a shitty match. Oh, Cena Ryback.
Right.
Or, you know. But whatever. I really like the feud. Of course, I love Ryback. And
of course you do.
Cena Ryback in a Three Stages of Hell match, which was really good, actually. And, of course, Cena ends up retaining cleanly by AAing Ryback through the roof of the ambulance, which was really sweet.
That was cool. Yeah.
Great match. You also had Punk return after losing to Undertaker at WrestleMania. He returned at Payback in June to fight Chris Jericho, which was really good. You had Curtis Axel, when he just debuted, win the Intercontinental title from Miz and Barrett in a triple threat match. You had Ziggler Del Rio for the world title, where there was the double turn, where Ziggler turned face and Del Rio turned heel in the same match. You had Orton and Bryan versus The Shield for the tag team titles.
Really? Orton and Bryan?
Yeah.
The irony.
As
it goes by. Jeez.
It was Orton. Oh.
Really? You had AJ win the Divas title from Caitlyn. It was a solid event.
She's
all around,
finishing
man.
Off the year with that belt.
Yep.
Good for her. If you ask me.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
All right, so what month are we at now?
Now we're on...
Now we're going to July.
July
was Money in the Bank, which still holds the title for greatest kickoff match between The Shield and The Usos, because usually the kickoff matches are nothing special. This one was, it was for the tag team titles. This is where The Shield had a little bit of a lull in their popularity. They were in the pre-show match on the Money in the Bank and then missed, I think Ambrose defended the U.S. belt in the SummerSlam pre-show, but the tag champions Rollins and Reigns missed SummerSlam completely, which was really surprising.
You also had the return of Rob Van Dam.
That's right.
Which was pretty big, and despite his big entrance at Money in the Bank, he doesn't win the match.
Well, I didn't want him to win the match because I thought that would have been too predictable to have the returning guy win.
At the same time, though, that's normally what happens, right? I mean,
which is why I thought it was good that they didn't do that.
Touche. Well played.
Nonetheless, plus Rob Van Dam only wanted to sign a contract where he worked for 3 months and then took 3 months off so he could smoke pot with Ricardo Rodriguez.
Yep.
So,
Oh, really? Fact? Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. I mean, I heard that Ricardo also got suspended for smoking pot a few months ago, so that's why I
see. Ricardo's awesome, right, guys?
No, I love both of those guys, yeah. Money in the Bank, very good show. You had Mark Henry with that fake retirement speech.
And faces Cena.
That led to fighting Cena for the WWE title.
Should have won the Slammy.
Yes. Because nobody really saw that coming from Henry. He was crying. Everyone was crying. You know.
And like, nope.
Heel turn.
There's
nice.
A point. I can't like pinpoint it exactly, but like right, I don't know. Like towards the end of him talking, I knew. I was like, okay, wait a minute.
Wait this a second.
He's like lying about something. Yeah. Something's gonna happen.
And it turned out great. Like it was.
I'm not saying I called it, but I just like, there's a point where his tone sort of changed. And I was like, okay, something's happening.
Yeah. No.
And then just went in, boom.
And plus that was World an epic
slam.
It was sweet.
That was an epic suit. I mean. Pink. He can rock that pink.
Only he can pull that off. And me, of course. Anyway, moving on. we also had Sandow win the Money in the Bank match.
Oh. Poor guy. Poor guy. He's...
Ooh. Not poor guy. I don't like Sandow.
What?
He's not very good.
I like
Holy
Sandow.
Holy crap. Are you kidding me?
He's so boring.
I like him.
But okay. I think that's WWE's fault.
It's WWE's fault. Yeah, okay, for listen, sure. Listen, okay. I don't mean to offend anyone. Sandow is great at his character.
You offended the host of the show, so you better come up with a good argument here.
Sandow is fantastic at the character that he plays on a consistent basis. But I feel like he can't really do anything else. And he sort of, like, stretched out this character for a really long time, and he hasn't really done anything else with it. And he hasn't done anything. He hasn't won a belt.
But he's not writing his own creative.
Exactly. So maybe it's not his fault.
But you're right. You said the right thing is that he plays his character very well. Where he goes with it is up to the creative.
And they haven't done anything with him.
No.
So it's just gotten really stale.
All right.
Yeah. Understandable.
Understandable? I heard understandable. Like, were you going to try his name?
Understandable. Understandable.
That's why I'm like, wait,
he
would what? Have been,
he should have won the World Heavyweight Belts, like, a year ago.
Yeah, I was ready for him to be. I knew that it's a great heel character. Yeah. He could be world champion for a long time.
He was pretty awesome on Raw when we went.
Yes. Then we had SummerSlam, holds the award for greatest pay-per-view of the year.
Really, despite people saying that Payback should have the greatest pay-per-view.
It's between Payback and SummerSlam. Here's the thing. I mean, they're both so solid. SummerSlam had Brock Lesnar versus CM Punk in that no disqualification, no holds barred match, which was amazing. You remember watching that. We watched that match together. It was so good.
Oh, and let it be noted that before SummerSlam, Heyman turned heel on Punk.
Right.
Which got like Punk's face turn going, which is still going on today, for the record.
That was really cool, having Heyman with Lesnar and... I don't know. Yeah, this is just a great match all around, like the build-up and everything. Yep.
Plus,
great.
You had Cena Bryan, which, you know, it turned out to be a great match, even though that's when Cena's elbow was starting to hurt, because he's wearing that brace.
Yeah.
It turned out to be a great match, you know?
And then, of course, that perfect ending from Bryan, everybody's going crazy, and then Orton comes out, and then the whole sets up for
Triple H turned,
what comes...
You should have... I don't know if you remember how much I was freaking out when that happened. Triple H turns around, pedigrees Bryan to the ground, Orton comes out, cashes in, new heel champion, new corporation.
I'm pretty sure you were... standing up, like dancing around and like enacting the moves, like as he did the pedigree, you did it too.
And, I was just like pedigreeing my dog, like
Kind of reminds me of when you showed me that video that you were on SmackDown. You showed me like
classic,
like, early in the year.
You definitely did a couple of those.
Oh yeah, no question.
Oh my
goodness, that was crazy.
That was awesome.
Heck of a sets up for a storyline that's still going on today.
Yeah,
the new corporation version 2.
Unpredictable ending. Two solid matches. The rest of the card was solid. I mean, maybe Payback overall had more matches that were, you know, solid. I'm using that term a lot, but SummerSlam had two standout matches, whereas a whole Payback was very good.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, no question it's between those two.
September, where we went to Raw, all of us did.
Yeah,
Raw when it finally came back to Toronto after how long?
Oh, three years? It was 2010, which you and me attended the week before Over the Limit.
So, wow.
That was May
2010.
Perfect timing. Of course, this was my first ever WWE event, for anybody keeping count. Never went to an event before because my parents said, no, you're not allowed. And then, let's see, I'm out of the country. I'm in South America. I told my mom, I'm going to Raw. Okay, fine. So, there I went to Raw and I had a hell of a time. Just wish I didn't spill my popcorn because I was like trying to buy popcorn. I was like waiting for Franken and my friend Brian. Seeing Punk's music hit, I immediately entered. I immediately entered the gate, and it was like the gate that somehow perfectly aligned the middle, so you can see like the stage.
Oh,
so I see him beginning with the cane. I'm just all excited, just there, and I lost track of my popcorn. It spilled, and I just left the gate so fast, and it went straight to mine. And then as I came up, the Divas match began. I'm like,
what a waste.
Frank asked me, "What happened?" I'm like, I heard Punk's music and I got excited, so I ran to a gate and, great first event indeed.
Yeah, it was a good Raw. I mean, that's the thing. Toronto's such a good wrestling market, and yet WWE comes here so sparingly.
And of course, we said it last week, or for now we're gonna say now. Rumors are swirling that it's coming back to Toronto, first pay per view since Unforgiven at Extreme Rules. If it is true, we swear to you, after the count, we'll be there.
We will be there on the camera side. You will be able to see us.
Where Sam pays for everybody's front row tickets. It is official. He's paying all, $100 plus bucks? So you spend about $500. I don't think
they're like,
you don't have a problem with that, right, Daniel?
Ringside, they're like $800 a piece.
Oh, look, even better. Look at that. You're spending thousands of dollars on
a pay-per-view. They're like, here in Canada, it's gonna be like $1,000 for first show, for one ticket.
Canada. First show at a house show is like $350.
Yeah, this
at a house show.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's speaking of the house show, we have one this Saturday.
Monday.
Oh, I lied. Monday.
Same night as Raw.
Same night as Raw.
They're splitting the roster in half, sending the shitty half to Toronto and the good half to Raw. No, it's not true. Actually, Cena, Orton, the Rhodes are supposed to be here. The Real Americans. That's crazy. Big Show, Kane. It's going to be
See, I would go, but I'm kind of in Ottawa. So I'm leaving Saturday for Ottawa.
What if they did some like crazy cool angle where they have like... They have cameras at the house show, and they have some like crazy interference going on.
That'd be awesome.
Have like two shows at one time. That'd be crazy.
See,
that'd
be so sweet.
I would say
but
like
never do that.
No. I would say like kind of like, you know, maybe WCW when they got bought up by WWE.
Yeah, the show.
That would be interesting. Yeah. That'd be very interesting. Good, and you know, if they need like the whole backstage access, they can literally use the Rico Coliseum, and they can still say where's that Raw?
Richmond.
They can still say, oh look, we're inside their arena, so it can you never know, right?
Yeah, I mean, because how are you gonna have a Raw without Orton, Cena, the Rhodes, who else, Zig?
I'm telling you,
like, it's gonna be a New Year's episode, so it is gonna be filler.
There's bound to be something. Yeah. That Raw is live too, so anything can happen.
September
saw Night of Champions.
I honestly, the whole authority dominating angle and the Orton Bryan feud, I thoroughly enjoyed. A lot of people did not. And it began with Night of Champions, where they had their first one-on-one contest. Honestly, I thought Night of Champions, solid show from top to bottom. You know, nothing on the level of a SummerSlam or a Payback, but there really wasn't anything wrong with it. And we did see a good match in the main event between Randy Orton and Daniel Bryan, and I'm glad that they had a long feud. That's something we don't see. You know, we don't see three-month feuds anymore where they're headlining three pay-per-views, you know?
It felt like longer than 3 months. Though.
Yeah,
I mean, at the end of the day,
honestly,
it's
only 2 months because they headlined two pay-per-views that were in October.
Hold on. Oh, that's right. It's no wonder it feels like...
It was 2 months, actually.
But it felt like a three-month...
Yeah.
Wait, I mean, Night of Champions...
a lot of build.
Had a controversy ending, Night of Champions, with that whole... What's the guy's name?
Scott Armstrong.
Scott Armstrong with the quick three
count. Fast count by Daniel Bryan, which led to Triple H stripping him of the title belt on Raw.
At first, I'm not going to lie, I actually thought that as I was watching the stream, I thought that my computer was messing up. I'm like, oh, this is quicker than, I guess it's catching up.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm like, okay, probably the internet speed's catching up and I'll be fine.
You know how to fix that.
And then the next night, I'm like, oh, wait a minute, that wasn't my internet. That was actually what happened.
Okay. Yeah, when I watched it, I definitely, like, right, I said, wow, that was a fast count. Yeah. But it didn't look like they made it out to be an angle that they're doing a fast count.
Because
like he just accidentally counted fast.
So yeah,
exactly. Like, oh, okay. Nobody's like, wait a minute. No, it just...
Yeah, no one said anything.
And that's when I was watching it. I'm on like Skype with Frank and them. We're like, okay, something. Sandow. Or, no, not Sandow. Sandow couldn't come out. I'm like, anything. That's it? And then like Daniel Bryan's on the stage. Okay, now...
But that's the
no,
thing.
They're going to let him end the show like that.
But that's the thing. Everyone's always saying like, why can't we just get Daniel Bryan to win the title? Why can't we just have... you know, a clean face finish for once. Why do we always have to have Triple H and the Authority, you know, ruining everything? And then they give you that clean finish and everyone else still wants something else.
I know, but at the end
of the day, they're always going to want the opposite.
At the end of the day, was it really a clean finish with the whole fast count?
No, it wasn't.
It's tough to say that, right?
It started an angle and it made sense to continue the feud at Battleground.
Yep, so then after...
We also had... Sorry, quick here. Paul Heyman... became the best in the world when he defeated CM Punk at Night of Champions thanks to Ryback.
Ryback, that's right.
And he is the best in the world. I really like that
one. So overall, I think the only really thing that highlights September is our Raw appearance, right?
Yeah.
That's clearly the...
I really like when Punk opened his match, and usually when he says it's clobbering time, and he said, it's time to die! It's like shitting his pants in the ring. That was awesome.
So we move on to October, which had two pay-per-views, which a lot of people were like, why are they having two pay-per-views?
Well, that's the thing. They don't have one in March, and they still want to have 12 a year. Yeah. So, you know, that's why they got to fill it somewhere.
Yep. That's when, of course, not only is October special for WWE, we started this podcast.
Yes, we did.
We did.
It was the week before Hell in a Cell,
and we had
a very botched episode.
For the record, that episode was actually hidden, like it's actually hidden on my hard drive. We will not release it unless maybe at the year anniversary of the show. Then we'll be like, here guys, here's a special ever rare first episode of After the Count. You'll notice we had a lot of sound problems. We almost
fucked up.
We literally did. I mean, like, we had a whole bunch, like, sound problems. We messed up people's ears. At the end of it all, Sam, a funny story, he's like, I want to do it again. And we're like, just looked at him, what? I want to do it again.
I was mad.
And so we did it again. And now look at us. Well, that's the only time we ever did
that. Nonetheless, yes, we are pros. Thank you.
Oh boy, anyway, so that happened.
I mean, I was being serious.
Me too. Yeah.
So Battleground came first, and
Battleground was looked down upon by the WWE community, although I do own it on DVD. Here's the thing. The crowd can have so much influence on how people perceive an event. The crowd in Buffalo was so dead that night, it made everything seem worse than it was. The opening match at Battleground was a hardcore rules match between Van Damme and Del Rio for the World Heavyweight title. Very good match.
And the crowd just... I guess. I didn't see the pay-per-view.
They were kind of into it. Second match of the night was hilarious because we had the Real Americans taking on Santino and Great Khali. Yeah. And here's the thing.
This was
ridiculous. When your commentators don't even take it seriously, it's hard for the viewer to. Michael Cole was trying to, you know...
keep it so serious. And that's why I respect Cole, Frank. Do you hear that? I respect Michael Cole. And he is underrated, Frank. So shut your mouth and stop bashing him. Go on.
Cole's trying to be serious,
yeah,
like the first 2 minutes,
yeah,
and then JBL was just like making so many jokes that eventually Cole just caved, and all three of them are just ripping.
They're just all laughing.
And people say that Cole is a problem. No,
it's
Jerry Lawler and it's JBL. Both of them,
it's really
distracting.
I really think it's JBL because before that it was fine before JBL came back, and I love JBL. I just think like he jokes around too much, and like he really.
I mean,
he does joke around, but honestly, for this match, I didn't really care because it was Santino
not.
And Great Khali, and I was
so it kind of is a joke
match.
To begin
with. It was
with.
A joke.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, though, JBL can be pretty funny on the mic.
Yeah,
he
no
is.
Question.
Anyways, and of course, we saw Cesaro's strength by spinning Khali, which
that was cool.
Which debuted that spin debuted here in Toronto.
Yes.
Which against Santino when he came back and we went crazy.
That was
I mean, that was just pretty much the only highlight of that match, the swing.
We also had a average IC title match between Curtis Axel and R-Truth.
And then from that point on, just crickets.
Dead.
Terrible.
Yeah. And you know what? Here's the thing.
Wait, hold on. Aren't you guys forgetting the Rhodes match?
Yeah, we had Cody Rhodes and Goldust versus Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns so that the Rhodes brothers could have the chance to win their jobs back, and they did. And that was a match of the year candidate, no question. Great, great, solid back-and-forth tag team match, something that we haven't had in WWE for a long time is good tag team matches.
They get their jobs back, everybody goes crazy, and then a couple of weeks later, they win the tag team belts.
Right. And we also had Punk versus Ryback, which, you know, had a lot of build since Night of Champions. You know, crowd was really dead for that. And then, of course, Orton and Bryan. Here's the thing. It's okay to have a disqualification ending if it's a regular match, which it was. And it's okay if it furthers a storyline. Because wrestling, professional wrestling, is not all about the competition. It's a very big part of it. But it's also drama. It's also storylines.
Sports entertainment.
It's sports entertainment.
Tell that to our first portfolio
the following
teacher.
Pay-per-view in October was Hell in a Cell, where nobody can get in, we hope. And we assume nobody can get out. But
oh, man. I remember our prediction show. Yeah. We were going at it with our predictions. This is going to happen. This.
Yeah.
And we were wrong with half of our predictions. And it was a relief that our predictions were wrong.
Yeah. So, Big Show beats the crap out of everybody in the main event, which was built up to, and he finally snapped. Like, there was build up, and there was a payoff, and it made sense because at Hell in a Cell in 3 weeks, Big Show would not be able to get in, and he didn't get in. So that ending to the Battleground main event, which people bitched and complained about, it made sense.
You're probably the only one that's ever going to say that, ever.
I stand by my opinion.
Yep, so that happens, and Big Show got fired, or storyline fired. Rather, did not happen after. Then Stephanie McMahon slaps him and wins a slammy, which is BS. And you can move on to Battleground, Hell in a Cell.
Hell in a Cell, which we saw the finale of the Orton Bryan feud on pay-per-view at least.
The HBK becomes ref and, like we predicted, kicks the hell out of Daniel Bryan and he gets screwed over and that storyline's over.
Randy Orton walks out with the belt. People always find something to complain about and they continue to do so even when they hit the reset button. You know, following that, people will complain no matter what.
Cena came back as well, and takes
to defeat Del Rio.
Gets back on his
very generic boat test.
Gets back on his whole face of the WWE. Has to come back. Has to win a championship. And RVD comes back. Doesn't even get that chance.
No.
Yeah, that was pretty much hell in a cell.
Cena getting that title shot made no sense at all. Like, why know. Is he? Why is he fighting for the world heavyweight belt?
No, like, it doesn't make. It did not.
And make also,
so stupid.
Let us all remember the guy who drove that skylift
forklift or something.
Well done.
Yeah, and he kept like crashing and it wasn't working.
Back it up.
We praised him in episode 2, and we'll praise him in the year in review. What a guy!
Yeah.
What and Punk Heyman kept his cool. That was a good thing. That was the best thing about that. He's like, didn't look at him. He just kept going.
He's like
I'll get
there
eventually.
The fact that he kept a straight face during that, and the guy was like freaking out. You could see, right?
November came on, and Big Show comes back.
Big Show is back and said, you know, if you don't want me to sue WWE,
put me in a title shot.
Give me a shot again.
And let me be the face of the WWE, which we didn't know at the time, set up to be one of the worst things we could ever see in our lives. But, you know, we'll let it go. Cena got a rematch. Well, Del Rio, rather, got a rematch against Cena for that World Heavyweight
Championship. That's the thing. People said that they hit the reset button after Survivor Series, but why would they reset with Big Show Orton for the title? That seems like it was continuing down the same storyline that they were doing before. They really didn't hit the reset button. I think the reset button came after Survivor Series, where they decided to unify the titles, because I think that's why Sandow cashed in and lost, was because they were going to unify the titles.
Daniel Bryan gets demoted somewhat to mid-card with Punk, and they team up to take on the Wyatts at that Survivor Series.
Yeah, that's the thing. I found that Survivor Series was almost like a Raw, and the Raw following Survivor Series was what the Survivor Series should have been.
Should have been, yeah.
All the interesting angles and stuff were happening on the Raw, like the Wyatts abducted Daniel Bryan. Why didn't that happen on the pay-per-view?
Yeah. And not only that, but I mean, Big E Lansing should have got that belt at Survivor Series, gets it on Raw.
The winning moment came the week before on Raw. Why not have the new champion be crowned on pay-per-view? Makes it seem more special.
The only thing that really highlighted Survivor Series that month was the traditional Survivor Series match where Roman Reigns becomes literally the last survivor and just spears everybody and picks up the win.
Spears everything.
Which kind of started the hint or the little tease of what could happen with the Shield, because that was huge.
Oh yeah, that was awesome. That was the match of the only above average match I would say at Survivor Series.
Yep. And then of course at the end of the pay-per-view, Big Show sucked badly.
It was bad. Everyone's chanting boring.
That was horrible.
Like, oh shit, turn the mics down, turn the mics down.
Cena comes out, and we're like, what the hell is this? And I remember when I was watching, I'm like, what is this? We're like, what the hell? And all of a sudden, he shows us the bell. We're like, oh my God. And then at the end of it all, I tell Frank, what if it's a unification? What if they're uniting the bells? And he's like, oh my God, that makes sense. And I'm like, that totally makes sense. I'm like, you don't think they'll actually do it? And of course, the next week on Raw, announced.
Yeah.
Sets up to be the better pay-per-view over the last couple of months.
Here's the thing. Unifying the belts has its pros, but it definitely has its cons in the fact that it really hurts the mid-card. It hurts guys like Sandow and Cesaro because you don't have two big belts. Now all those guys, you know, they're going to be mid-carders forever.
We said, like, or as the months went by, we were doing this show, right? You'll see Cesaro win his Money in the Bank, or you'll see Sandow eventually get that belt.
Now
what's going to happen at Money in the Bank? What's going to happen at the Rumble? It's just, it's odd. It goes back to how it was back in the day, right?
So, well, yeah, you think about probably like the past, let's say, 4 years, the World Heavyweight Championship has always been, like, the B title.
Of course,
So you look at the, like, past World Heavyweight Championships, World Heavyweight Champions, sorry, Del Rio, Sheamus, like, Ziggler, Swag, Brian. Like, those guys.
And how they all won it, too. It's like,
all of them holding that belt, could you see them now being the unified WWE?
No, they
don't have a chance.
No, exactly.
And back in the day, that title was so prestigious. You know, you won it, like, on Raw was, like, the highlight of it. And then SmackDown. Look at each of those guys won. Almost all those, like, wins that you stated, cash-ins. Or a last-minute win.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
And look how, remember when Sheamus won the Royal Rumble, then and Daniel Bryan? Oh, it's going to be a good match. A kiss,
it's like
gets a kick in the face, and that's
something.
It. Yeah. Even the fans were like, okay, that was
our World Heavyweight title match. I mean, that's the thing. They took away a lot of significance.
Daniel Bryan's entrance was longer than the match.
Yeah.
Can somebody get that clear?
I understand. And That's WWE thinking that they're going to give us a WrestleMania moment, but that's the thing. I mean, we've seen...
It was kind of cool at the time.
It was cool. I mean, at the
time... It was shocking at the time.
Yeah, I mean...
That's what they wanted.
I never thought those guys had good chemistry anyway until the following month at Extreme Rules, where they had their real match. It was two of the three falls, and that was the match we should have got at Mania.
I remember they did... This is the first time they did that at 24, WrestleMania 24, Chavo Guerrero with the ECW belt, and then Kane comes out of nowhere from behind. And,
Nice.
Yeah.
Kane did travel from behind.
and of course, Kane wins the ECW belt with the chokeslam, and it's over. What, that was like 11 seconds. It could consider the fastest WrestleMania match of all time, right? So the fact that he did it again 4 years later was like, oh, okay. So just to show you that the World Heavyweight Championship really gone to waste, so it made sense to unify it at TLC.
The rest of TLC this year was pretty good. You had... the Intercontinental title match between Sandow and Langston actually see build. When was the last time we saw 3 weeks worth of build to an IC title feud? Usually they're made the week before.
I still say Sandow should have won that match.
I mean, I knew he wasn't, though, because this Langston face push is working well, and I don't blame them, you know. It is working. So it was a good match. It was what a mid-card match should be. You know, nothing that's going to blow your mind, but solid from start to finish.
Yeah, you want to talk about insignificant belts, like the US and IC belts. This is on. Okay, this is what I think WWE should have done. I think now, in the short run, it made sense to unify the World Heavyweight and the WWE belts.
Right.
In the long run, it does not make sense at all. What they should have done in the long run, unify the US and the IC belts. So there's one mid-card belt and two major belts. Because... there are so many guys who are just above the mid-card, but not quite at the WWE Championship level that need the World Heavyweight belts.
The minute that Frank listens to this, he's going to want to give this kid a high five, because he's been telling me that as well. And I told him, you know, put the U.S. belt on the line. He's like, no.
When was the last time Ambrose defended the U.S. belt?
SummerSlam. And then Frank tells me, no, Jose, you're stupid, you're an idiot, because they should have unified those belts, maybe at TLC, but the IC and the U.S. should have been unified. And he's saying the exact same thing right now.
There's three tiers. There's the top guys for the WWE Championship. There's tier two. It was like a year ago, like the top guys of SmackDown for the World Heavyweight belt, and there's the like lower mid card guys for the unified whatever they want to call it.
See,
the US and IC.
This is what I said. You know, unifying the two top titles made sense. I said keep those separate because you still have a lot of that mid card talent. What are you gonna do? Set up, like, if you unify those belts as well, it's like, what about the rest of the mid card? You might as well just
have them defended. Because Ambrose is the US champion, hasn't defended in like 6 months.
Look who I was back in the day, right? Like I say, like the old. Like, how many mid cards were there? Intercontinental, European. Hardcore, European, light heavyweight, cruiserweight eventually.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, why don't you build that up? I think Ambrose should have defended it. If anything, the Rumble should be that perfect time. And if he still doesn't defend it, then he just knows how to, like, suck up to WWE and...
I think they are going to unify them eventually, and I think Langston walks out with that if it is going to be Ambrose.
And when would you expect that? WrestleMania?
I mean, they could have it on Raw for all they care.
I don't know.
A big match. Regardless.
I feel like keep it separate, but Ambrose has got to start defending that title.
Or what would they call it?
The Intercontinental United States. Despite that Intercontinental means
like
the world.
The world.
Oh, no, it's like TNA's mid-card belt, the global champion.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Nice.
Didn't Zack Ryder have, like, an internet belt?
Oh, yeah. Best belt.
The first and only internet champion. Nonetheless, 2013, I mean, had its ups and downs, but...
Let's see here. Yeah,
did we make it to December?
Quick here. Brian and keeps feuding with the Wyatts. You know, Brian loses to them. Punk is fused with the Shield. Shields are hinting at the breakup because of the ending. AJ finishes Divas champ. Big E finishes IC champ. Orton eventually becomes the top face and the unified WWE heavyweight champion, which you were so close to calling it unified champ, which was just so horrible. I don't know how many times we voted for Undisputed, and yet they think Gengar didn't happen.
I bought six separate phones with six separate SIM cards just so I could vote six times for it to be the unified champion.
Please tell me your line.
Nope.
So 2013, of course, we should thumbs up or thumbs down, like we do with every other Raw pay-per-view.
Even like a year like 2010, where we were saying now, sure, it wasn't as good. I mean, I still
and we said
really
on,
liked watching
we
wrestling
said it,
in 2010.
We
know?
Said it on past episodes that, you know, let's see, like the Slammies, the kind of sets up 2014. Like, if you remember that big ending, Punk that attacked Orton, Triple H attacks Punk, Punk attacks Triple H, HBK kicked Punk, Daniel Bryan kicked HBK, Orton tries to attack Daniel Bryan, fails, and it hurts Stephanie, then Triple H attacks Punk. Just that ending alone kind of sets up a lot for 2014. You know, rumors are saying HBK is going to come back, which throws away to WrestleMania 26. People are saying, you know, triple threat match at the Rumble. Who knows? Who knows?
I think it's going to be a big year.
It's going to be huge. It's definitely going to make up for the past couple of years that's been horrible. Now, our buddy Frank, he comes up to us and he said, why don't you guys do a award show? We're like, okay, cool. So we came up with all these ideas and he's not here. In fact, he had the results, the actual results. So we actually got people voting. I forgot to vote myself, but it's okay. And they submitted it. He tabulated everything. And yeah, he doesn't show up. He's not here. So I'm assuming he's one of the people that lost power.
Nonetheless, we're just going to go through this list here really
so
quick.
So, he comes up with this heck of a list. So, let's go category by category, which
let's
is our own.
But I feel like we should start from the bottom and then do Wrestler of the Year last.
So, start from the bottom and then we're
all right.
There.
Best Angle of the Year. The nominees are AJ Lee's work shoot, where she bashes the Divas. Or the Total Divas.
Oh, we forgot to bring that up. See how less important that is in the year?
Yeah, exactly. Mark Henry's retirement swerve. The Del Rio Ziggler double turn. Cody Rhodes and Goldust win their jobs back. CM Punk and Paul Bearer's urn. Daniel Bryan's rise to the top. And Triple H turns on Daniel Bryan. Orton becomes the face of the WWE.
I mean, if you're going to work with Best Angle, it's got to be Punk and Bearer. It has to be. I don't really see anybody else. Anything that comes... I mean, Mark Henry could come as a close second, but
yeah,
that urn escalated a lot more than just simply a TV work shoot. It escalated to...
My vote is CM Punk in the urn.
I would say that as well.
My vote is Triple H turning on D. Ryan and Orton becoming the face of
I mean,
team.
I love that.
I thought that was huge.
Yeah, I thought
that
if
you want to talk about, like... I'm sort of thinking of this as far as, like, impact.
Yeah.
And that definitely had the biggest impact to me.
Yeah.
That was huge.
Long-term impact, too. Yeah. It totally changed the whole storyline direction. You're right. That was pretty sweet.
The best gimmick, and we have five nominees here. Bray Wyatt, CM Punk, Damian Sandow, Daniel Bryan, and the underdog, Fandango.
Fandango.
Come on, guys. You know how crazy I was dancing when his music popped up in Toronto? I was, like, on my feet, and I didn't stop, and Frank told me to shut up. I didn't listen. I kept going.
I was shaking my head.
I was dancing too. I was with you on that one.
Oh my goodness. I couldn't stop laughing.
I mean, Bray Wyatt.
It has to be Wyatt.
Really well.
Yeah, Bray Wyatt.
Because he's the closest thing that we've got to like the ministry. I said that many episodes ago. And this guy's creepy. I mean, at TLC, even creepier.
It's a really dark angle, something we haven't seen in a while.
And especially in the PG area, it's really, really going to mess with kids.
PG area.
Era. Well, sorry. I don't know. I meant to work till midnight, guys. I'm trying to... All
right, well, you better go because it's almost time for your work.
Nah, it's okay. Best talker, AJ Lee, Bray Wyatt, CM Punk, Paul Heyman, and our other underdog, Zeb Coulter.
All these are pretty good.
These are, like, Frank knows how to nominate these guys. I'm telling you now.
If this was 2011, I would definitely say CM Punk. But I'm going to go with Paul Heyman.
Paul Heyman.
Because
absolutely.
Like, hit with him and Lesnar and then turning on Punk. And he had
he cut such a good promo.
You know, I'm going to agree with you guys, but I'm going to give, like, a shout-out to Zeb Coulter.
Oh,
only because he knows how to work that crowd. Remember when he was here in Toronto? The guys hold maple syrup and
maple syrup guzzling Canadians. I won't deny that. I love maple syrup.
yeah, it's delicious.
All right, best pay-per-view, and these were interesting.
We've already mentioned that this is going to be between Payback and SummerSlam.
But the rest of the nominees were Royal Rumble, Extreme Rules, Money in the Bank, and TLC. Can we go with SummerSlam? Or
it's hard. I'm never going to be able to change my decision.
Let's just kill Frank. He's the one that makes us.
I'm going to give it to SummerSlam, but Payback is a close second. If you haven't seen either of those shows, they are must-watch for 2019.
I definitely have to watch it.
I'll say SummerSlam, too.
Yeah.
The best female wrestler. And this one actually brings us some people from NXT, if you guys do not know them. AJ Lee, Emma, Caitlin, Natalya, and Paige. Emma and Paige, if I'm not mistaken, are on NXT, right?
Yeah, they are.
But
AJ is the best.
I haven't seen Emma or Paige compete. Caitlin.
They're good wrestlers, but I mean, they're not on the main roster for a reason yet. So yeah. They're not the best female wrestlers.
Exactly. So I'm going to go with AJ.
I'm going with Caitlin because she's really hot.
Nice.
All right.
That is a good, that you're allowed that's to take how I that judge into consideration.
Because, I mean, I don't really care about the wrestling. Let's be serious.
I mean, that's the only think, reason that they put if that,
in
on
that
anyway.
Case, and can we mention Summer Rae, please?
Oh, yeah.
For the love of God, people.
I don't,
Mrs. Fandango.
I'm kind of impartial with her.
Okay. The best show, and Raw, SmackDown,
NXT.
And NXT.
Next question.
Wow.
No. I mean, there's been bad of all of these shows, really, this year.
It's Raw.
You gotta give it to the flagship show. You gotta give it to Raw. Yeah,
SmackDown's a Raw recap show now, and NXT, yeah. I mean, whatever.
Ever since we started this podcast, I have not seen a single episode of SmackDown.
I've seen all of them.
I feel bad for you. The best tag team?
I already know who wins.
Cody Rhodes and Goldust, The Real Americans, The Shield, or The Usos?
All four teams are really, really good. The tag team division is the best it's been in years in WWE.
Thank God.
The Usos are kind of a step down on popularity from those top three teams. The Shield made a huge impact in 2013, but the most entertaining matches have come from Cody Rhodes and Goldust consistently. They're the tag team of the year.
But guys, can we at least put our hands over our heart? At least give them respect and say, we the people! All right, why don't you go announce the next match, the next category, Sam?
All right, next up, we got the feud of the year. The nominees are CM Punk versus The Undertaker, Antonio Cesaro versus Sami Zayn,
NXT,
otherwise
NXT.
Known as El Generico for those ROH fans, CM Punk versus Paul Heyman, John Cena versus Daniel Bryan, and Cody Rhodes versus The Authority.
It's tough. It's
they
I don't
all
okay.
Have good matches.
I mean, yeah, it's true, but I don't think I would see John Cena, Daniel Bryan because it kind of was forgotten with
was
the whole
short.
Authority, right?
It was short.
CM Punk and Paul Heyman
was long,
but again, wasn't I? To me, I don't think it was as strong as CM Punk and The Undertaker. I'm gonna give
it
to them.
I don't think it was build up wise. I mean, that's the thing too, though. Punk and Heyman went on for like three. You had it started in July. You had a match at SummerSlam, a match at Night Champions, a match
I'm
at Battleground, a match at Hell in a Cell. I mean,
I'm actually, for me, it's Punk Heyman.
Yeah.
I mean, Punk Taker was great, but it was just Mania, and it was just the build up to Mania, and then that was it.
I gotta give it to Punk and Undertaker again. The storyline that Punk used, and eventually led up to a heck of a match. I mean, sometimes one match can defeat like five or six other matches that you could have in the it's this guys. It's this. Don't worry, I just
don't know why my windows are so fucked. Look at the back window; you can't see out of it.
This is awkward. So I'm gonna give it to Punk and Undertaker just because of what the circumstances were.
I'm gonna go with you, Daniel. CM Punk versus Paul Heyman. Okay. Great long term feud.
I thought there was just like more meaning behind it.
Yeah, there was.
Anyway. This this is one we could go on for days, Sam.
This was match of the year.
Oh my goodness.
Do you want to announce this one, Mason? Daniel, sorry.
Go down the list. Go down the match of the year list. Here we go.
Match of the year. Here we go down the list. You got Cena versus Punk on Raw. Punk versus The Undertaker at Mania. D. Bryan versus Antonio Cesaro in a gauntlet match on Raw. Cesaro versus Sami Zayn, 2 out of 3 falls, which was on NXT. El Generico, ole, ole, ole. you got Punk versus Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam, no holds barred. Cena versus D. Bryan at SummerSlam for the WWE Championship. Cody Rhodes and Goldust versus The Shield at Battleground. And finally, Orton and D. Bryan on Raw.
Which a couple of weeks ago. Again, this
is a lot of matches.
I mean, we had to give recognition to Cesaro and Sami Zayn because I've seen that match actually last week.
It's a great
week.
Match.
I haven't seen that match. Maybe
it's.
I
mean,
it,
it's not. I mean, it's not like the people, right? Again, at the time, you barely knew the people, but it's like what they did in the match was. I mean, like Sami Zayn goes from like through the turnbuckle ropes to give a spinning DDT. To Cesaro.
Well, we see a lot of indie-esque moves.
Exactly. You don't see that in the main show. It's one to get recognition. Oh, boy.
Okay, I'm narrowing it down between... you know what? No. I know who the winner is.
Who?
It's Brock Lesnar versus CM Punk at SummerSlam. That was one hell of a fight.
I have to see that match. I haven't seen SummerSlam.
It's Punk. See, that's the thing. Punk's
like
in both are the best two best matches of the year. I think were Punk Undertaker and Punk Lesnar.
Yeah, I mean, I was gonna lean towards Punk and Undertaker anyways. That match I did see, despite not having seen the rest of the WrestleMania show. That was the match I did see. It was pretty intense.
For me, it goes to Punk Lesnar SummerSlam no holds barred match. It was amazing.
I mean, for me, it definitely involves Punk. Like, the Punk-Undertaker match at Mania was awesome.
It was.
And so is the SummerSlam match.
Yeah, I mean, you can't just put anybody in for WrestleMania to face The Undertaker. It has to be pretty, pretty good. I mean, rumors swirling next year are Cena or Brock Lesnar. People are leaning more towards Cena. That's a match I would want to see because that can deliver as well. And CM Punk is just like John Cena. So I would say
Cena's the only guy who could beat Undertaker
But
I don't think he will.
See, this is the thing. I mean, that's what we all expect because he's a face. And obviously, on the 30th anniversary show, like, he's going to do it. It's going to piss off a lot of fans. But that's what keeps the match entertained. That's what keeps people glued.
Hard to predict.
Cena were to be in there. But I'm going to go with Punk Undertaker because that was another close call as well. To end a streak.
What's your final call, Mason?
I guess because I said for me feud of the year was Punk Heyman, I guess I got to go with Punk Lesnar at SummerSlam because that just like revolves around that feud.
I have to see it, so I can't judge, but I have to see it. And last but not least, the wrestler of the year, not superstar of the year, not
Superstar.
Rated PG. Superstar.
The wrestler, the answer, like, who was better in the ring? Not necessarily can, like, talk better. Who's the entertainer? Wrestler. Like,
in-ring wrestler.
Exactly. So,
yes.
These are really good nominees. Ooh, and again, you got to thank Frank for this. Antonio Cesaro, CM Punk, Cody Rhodes, Daniel Bryan, Dean Ambrose, John Cena.
Why?
Randy Orton, Roman Reigns, Sami Zayn, he's being brought up a lot here, and Seth Rollins.
I like how all three Shield members are on that list.
Seth Rollins is the best wrestler.
I don't know if I'd say he's the best wrestler, but Seth Rollins is damn good.
I think he's the best in the Shield.
For me, it's between...
I would say Roman Reigns is the best in the Shield, just how he's... Well, again, this is the entertainment
wrestling,
aspect.
Wrestling quality, I think.
Roman Reigns is the most dominant, but he's not the best wrestler.
You can't really exclude Antonio Cesaro because, I mean, this guy has strength. I mean, he was really close to spinning Mark Henry, for crying out loud. Not many people in that roster can do that anyways. Not even Cena can.
I think this lends to the match of the year category. Yep. When you have one guy that was in your two best matches of the year, I mean, yes, this year was less special for Punk than the previous two
in
years.
2011.
2012, yeah, the year-long title reign. 2011, he came back and, you know, the pipe bomb thing, that was huge, right?
Yeah.
But Punk continues to have these amazing matches. He had the two best matches.
He can deliver. He literally can deliver.
So Wrestler of the Year, it's got to go to CM Punk.
Yeah, no, I got to agree with you on that for sure because, I mean, for example, John Cena was out for a good part of the year. And that did show a lot which kind of highlighted Punk and Daniel Bryan a bit more. Daniel Bryan is definitely most entertaining as of late, but as best wrestler, it's tough
best
to say.
Best wrestler for me.
I'm going to go with Punk.
Punk
I'm
had
go with
more
Punk.
Five-star matches than Bryan did this year.
Yeah, yep. It's definitely between Bryan and Punk. But, yeah, I guess, you know, Punk has proven that he can just put the company on his back and
no question.
Go with it. So, yeah, CM Punk.
And that's our award show. So give us, what do you guys think? Tweet us at After The Count. And we have a new website now. We got rid of the WordPress. So it's just afterthecount.net. You're welcome, as they say.
Silence!
As he says. And that concludes our year in review show. And that's the last show of 2013. Although we've been at it for a couple of months, 2014 should be huge for us as well.
Yeah,
can't forget us.
Yeah, we will see you guys in the new year.
Yep.
Merry Christmas.
Yes, Merry Christmas to you both, because technically this
happy
is...
Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Yeah.
Do we know anybody that celebrates Kwanzaa?
I don't, but I'm sure there are listeners out there who do.
Yeah, this is recorded, December 23rd, but we're going to put technically boxing as we're...
You will hear this on boxing.
You will hear this. Well, it is boxing now.
I hope you had a good Christmas.
Yeah, so, yes, Merry Christmas.
A lot of WWE merchandise. Yeah.
Merry Christmas to you both. Happy New Year to you both, as I'm not going to be here. I'm going to Ottawa. Booyah!
I will be at the house show. Any Toronto listeners, come find me in the
Ryback
Rules t-shirt. I will be there, and we can hang out.
Are you going, Daniel?
I'm not going. I'm not really? A huge fan of house shows.
Who are you going with?
I'm going with Kat.
Aww.
That was my Christmas present.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. For Sam Pearson, for Daniel Mason, I'm Jose Tawada. We will see you in 2014. Take care.
Thank you.